Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh.
The curtain's about to rise on the new season of Opera Theater of St. Louis. Contributor Steve Potter gives us a front row seat with a view of what we can look forward to.
The season opens Saturday and runs through June 26th with four operas in rotation. The company's music director, Stephen Lord, is directing Macbeth and the one-night center stage concert. Also here today are Bradley Smoke, who sings the role of Coline in La Boheme, and Roland Wood, who sings the title role in Macbeth. Welcome to you all.
Hi. Thank you.
Stephen, every year, you know, when your season is about to begin, I always think about the four sets of operas all rehearsing at the same time and what that must be like.
A madhouse is what it's like. Actually, was it last Sunday or so? We had all four operas in the Sally Levy Opera Center rehearsing all at once, and everybody had their break simultaneously. So everyone got to know each other, and we all mixed, and it was wonderful. And of course, I've been here so long, and I've known so many of these people since the very beginning of their careers. It was kind of wonderful to watch all this convergence of talent.
Well, this is going to be an interesting season for you, and we'll get to that later.
Okay.
But Roland Wood, this is your first time with Opera Theater.
So it is, yes.
How's it been for you?
It's been wonderful so far. Thoroughly enjoying myself. Everyone's been very friendly, and Midwestern hospitality, I've been told to expect, is absolutely lived up to expectations, and it's been great.
And this is your first experience with St. Louis in any way,
isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But Bradley, you've been around a while here. You've got a history with Opera Theater.
Yes, I consider this actually to be kind of a second home. This is my sixth season, I believe, with Opera Theater. I started as a young artist, one of the Jardine Young Artists, in 2009, actually covering the role that I'll be singing in La Boheme this season, which is very exciting for me. But St. Louis holds a very special place for me. This is where I sort of got my start in the career and also where I met my wife, actually.
Wow. Yeah. Well, Roland, do you perform primarily in the UK?
Yeah, generally. Not exclusively. It just tends to be, I think most singers would agree, that you tend to work where the work is offered. And if the work is offered locally, then great. But it's more a case of, you know, you sort of put yourself out there and sing to people and take the jobs that you're offered, really.
But born in Scotland, right?
No, I was born in England. I live in Scotland.
I see.
My wife is Scottish. So yes, I've been living up there since 2001. Sorry, I just realized how long that is.
Yes, sir.
And Bradley, you work a lot with the Lyric Opera in Chicago. And is that how you know Stephen?
No, actually, I know Stephen from the Young Artist Program here in St. Louis. But yes, I'm in the Ryan Opera Center, which is the training development program with Lyric Opera of Chicago. I'll be starting my third year this coming fall in the program there. And it's basically the Young Artist Program here on a grander scale. It's, you know, a full-time opera company there, not a festival season. So it runs throughout the rest of the year.
All right. Stephen, tell me about the operas this season. You're directing one of them.
I'm directing one of them. I'm conducting Macbeth that our friend here today, Roland Wood, is starring in. It's always an interesting cocktail of repertoire that we do for all sorts of reasons. We try to do standard pieces, some not quite so standard pieces, a new piece, and perhaps a piece that doesn't require chorus. And so we start with La Boheme, which is this season's most standard piece and beloved of everybody. And then we do Macbeth, which is by Verdi, a really large, large opera that you can't do unless you have the right Macbeth, which we have in Roland. He and I have talked about this project for 4 or 5 years because we've worked together in England. And then we have Ariadne auf Naxos by Strauss, which has been done twice in this company previously. The first time had Erie Mills as Zerbinetta and Leonard Slatkin conducted. The second time we did it had Christine Brewer singing her first Ariadne and me conducting. And this time we have great friends in this, Marjorie Owens, who I've just did Norma with in London. She's doing that show. And one of our former GYA artists, So Young Park, is singing Zerbinetta. And Sean Curran, who's done so much for us, he directed The Daughter of the Regiment and The Pirates of Penzance and Salome. He is directing the Strauss, so that's great. And then we have a world premiere called Shalimar the Clown, based on the book by Salman Rushdie. That's written by a gentleman named Jack Perla, and it's very exciting. It deals with all sorts of things that are not clown-like. So it may sound like an opera for children, but I don't know.
And we've talked to them about that.
Yes, I'm sure you have.
Roland, Macbeth, what a role, huh?
It's a fantastic role, yeah. It's an interesting role. It has some interesting challenges. The challenges are not necessarily vocal in terms of singing. It's quite histrionic. The big challenge is to be able to convey the fact that you're going mad and seeing things and rolling around stage in a bloodlust.
Should I ask you if that was easy for you?
Well, you know, I think this is where I draw on my experience of living in Scotland and socialising with homicidal maniacs on a day-to-day basis. It's difficult because you want to give a performance that the audience will relate to and understand, and you want to realise the director's vision of the piece, but also you have to take a step back and say, well, I can't really be that emotionally tense and stretched and still sing these glorious lines that Verdi gives you, which are still very challenging. So it's a question of finding the balance, and hopefully one has a friendly conductor who...
Well, it's interesting because the biggest vocal challenge in Macbeth is the last thing that he sings in the opera. Yeah. He has all night long where he's acting and carrying on and going mad, and the very last thing he sings in the opera is one of the most beautiful, sustained, gorgeous melodies that Verdi ever wrote.
I would think, too, singing an iconic role, one that audiences are so familiar with, does that make it a little more challenging for you to do something new?
I think it, for me, it does. I think that there are so many, particularly singing in North America, where there are so many great American baritones who have had huge successes as Macbeth. You think of sort of Leonard Warren and Cornell McNeil and Cheryl Milnes. You know, they're big shoes to fill. I hope I do it justice. I hope I'm doing myself justice and the company justice. But it's exciting rather than scary. It's something that I think, I've always wanted to sing. It's a role I've always wanted to perform. I'm very grateful to have the chance to do it.
I don't know if this is a fair question, but what don't we know about Macbeth?
Well, I think we don't know quite what his relationship with Lady Macbeth is. I think the opera raises interesting questions that don't necessarily appear in the play. In the opera, he comes across, I think, slightly weaker than he does in the play, largely because Lady Macbeth comes across as such a strong, determined character in the opera. She's forever berating him for being a coward and telling him to man up. And everything he does is prompted by that. And I think we get the feeling we're trying to play that a lot in this production to show that actually it's a portrait more of a marriage in disintegration rather than a person of one man going mad and seeking power. It's more the breakdown of their marriage is what causes the problems. I don't want to blame it all on the soprano, but it's,
Could I add also that because we sing in English there, that it gives the piece a little more immediacy. And Roland being, an English singer, having sung there, singing in English in translation, unlike in America, is quite accepted and quite applauded singing in their own language. And of course, he sings in his own language very well. Mm-hmm. So that really adds something more to it that Mr. Milnes or Mr. McNeil or, mm-hmm. or Leonard Warren, etc., they didn't sing it in their native language. So this actually sets him apart right away.
La Bohème, Bradley.
Yes.
Tell me about your character.
So La Bohème is the story of the friends, the young Bohemians in Paris. This particular production is being set around 1929, 1930. So my character, Colline, is the philosopher of the group. They each have their sort of foray into the Bohemian lifestyle. They have the poet, the painter, the musician, and the philosopher, and then the young ladies are seamstresses. So my character, Colline, he's very... philosophical as the philosopher. He enjoys reading. He takes things very seriously. He likes to think of himself as a big thinker, sort of grand ideas and things like that. But in the end, he is just another one of the guys. He's one of the young men, and he gets caught up in the excitement of life, but also the tragedies that happen as well.
And like artists of all times, you're all poverty-stricken.
Yes. Well, that is one part of the opera that is easy to imagine. Yes. Young, starving artists, we get that.
I'm curious, with the four rehearsals going on at the same time, are you able to see what other people are doing, or is it going to be a surprise to you?
I've not had a chance to see any of the other shows so far. I think depending on the rehearsal schedule tends to depend on when the chorus are available. So we will do an afternoon or an evening, and Bohème will be in the morning or depending. So I'm looking forward to seeing opening night on Saturday. I'm hoping that it's... Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it, actually. Gotcha.
Well, talk about the rotation system, because that's an interesting part of this. So you can see all the productions in a couple of days.
You can. There are several times that you can do that. There are these opera people who travel, and they're obsessed with the art form, thank God. And they will come, and they'll see four operas in 2 days or 3 days. But this year, we're hoping a lot of those types of people, as well as visiting impresarios, will come towards the end of the season when we have the center stage concert, which is on June 21st. And that's when all the Jardin Young artists have a chance to sing with the symphony on the stage. And I'm conducting most of it. My chorus master will do one piece, and my assistant will do another piece. But they'll get to sing some standard works, usually in the original language. on the stage with a great symphony orchestra and be highlighted. And that's very important to us.
I think a lot of people are going to be curious or have been curious about Shalimar the Clown finally coming to stage.
Yes, finally coming to stage. It was interesting when I read the book, and it's a terrific book with beautiful writing. One wonders how this is going to ever be put into a scenario that works in a linear sort of way to produce an opera. But it's all come together fantastically. You know, there are always last-minute adjustments to be made. In March or February, we lost the woman singing Bunyi, which is also doubled with the part of India. And so we went on a quick search, and we found Andriana Chuchman. I know her from Canada, and she's also the student of one of our former soloists here for many years, Tracy Dahl. So it's great. And she, of course, has sung in Chicago and everywhere else, too. So a lot of it's been wonderful and full of excitement, because when it's a new piece, you're creating it.
Right.
As it happens, there are adjustments and other assorted fun things which none of you knows about, and maybe it's best you don't. Just come and enjoy the show.
Well, Bradley and Roland, I'm sure that you've done your share of premieres before. Is that a lot more challenging, doing something for the first time?
It is challenging because you have no frame of reference when you're given the score, and very often you're presented with part of the score, and you don't get the full score until a couple of weeks before you start rehearsals. The last world premiere I did, we received part of the score on the first day of rehearsals. And it was fiendishly complicated music. And the director of the show said, well, look, you know, I've had to design and come up with a concept for this performance, for this production, without having seen the final score. I've seen the libretto, but I don't know how long this act is. I don't know what this act is doing. So we'll start and we'll see how we get on. And it does, it presents all sorts of challenges, because obviously learning the music is very difficult. You can't just, you know, go onto iTunes and download, you know, a recording of Macbeth, for example, or Bohème and go, well, that's how it goes. Okay. It's much more time consuming. But the upside of that is that you get the chance to put your stamp on it first. And without wishing to denigrate composers, if you don't sing what's on the page, nobody really knows. Sometimes that's not strictly true, but there is a slight sense of, you know, the audience don't know if I sing a wrong note here.
So, I hadn't thought of it that way. Yeah.
Once you get into performances, you can think, well, you know, if I don't sing the right notes here, it's not the end of the world. Not that I'm advocating that people should not learn their music, but sometimes, you know, there are different sets of pressures as to when you perform a standard work that everybody knows.
And then, of course, when you have a new piece, and if it's recorded archivally or something and it gets revived, someone said, well, can you send me a recording of this? And there's Roland singing the wrong note.
Yeah. I always find that if I'm trying to learn a phrase and I can't sing it and it's so ridiculously complicated that it doesn't make any sense, you go back to the composer and say, well, can I sing it like this? And they either say, yes, actually, that's a good idea, or no, you've got to do that. At which point I always say, well, can you sing it to me? And if they can sing it to you, it doesn't matter what their voice sounds like, if they can sing it back to me, then I think, okay, then I should be able to do this. Mm-hmm. And the majority of the time, they go, okay, well, what do you want to change it to? If that's assuming they notice at all. They don't. I think a lot of composers are so thrilled that their work is being performed that they're willing to allow it to develop and evolve in rehearsal process in order to see it being performed. Some composers are not that you have to do exactly as they write. They're utterly rigid, but some composers are much more flexible.
What are your thoughts, Bradley?
I was thinking back to the world premiere of The Golden Ticket we did here a few years back here in Opera Theatre St. Louis, and I was the King of Hearts. I'm sorry, the
King of Hearts was...
The King of Hearts was Alice in Wonderland. Now I'm mixing up my premieres here. Anyway, we'll talk about the Alice in Wonderland in that case. But I was thinking the Queen of Hearts was Julie Makarov, who is Lady Macbeth this season. And I'm thinking back to the amazing camaraderie that we found within the cast when you're creating a piece, you know, for the first time. None of you know how it goes, really. And so you're all finding it together, which is a very different experience than, you know, having a score, having recordings and studying on your own and then all coming together and putting together a piece that you all know. When you're working on something brand new, you're all finding it together, which can create some very, very special moments and some really, really strong relationships as well.
I think you tend to get more interesting, maybe more interesting is the wrong word, you get a different kind of performance from people. Mm. I think when you know, if you turn up to do Bohème or Traviata or Macbeth or something that everybody knows, you know that at certain points the tenor is going to surge downstage and the soprano will be standing in your light, because that's what they do when they sing these roles. When you're doing something for the first time, performers tend to be a lot more open to direction because, again, they have no previous frame of reference. So people tend to come with a blank slate. And actually, a lot of times, the musical performances are more consistent because you're all desperately trying to find a way to look at the conductor as opposed to going, well, he can follow.
Oh, don't start a trend.
Yeah.
Don't
start. That's right. Exactly. Well, and there are no traditions set in place. And so if anything, if a piece gets picked up and has success in the long run, you have started that tradition, which is actually
But in the end, you know, your pressures in a new piece are the notes, sing it, whatever all else. But the pressures on those singing the standard pieces in some ways are greater. I mean, if you're doing La Bohème and you have the iconic, you know, Pavarotti or, you know, Giglio, the Gerling, the great singers of the past doing this, and a lot of people know these standard works, the pressure on you as a performer to live up to people's expectations is very, very, very hard.
Well, the new season for Opera Theater starts Saturday, and Stephen Lord, this is going to be a special season for you. You are moving on in a big way.
Yeah, it's my penultimate season as music director. And, you know, I've been here, for those of your listeners who've listened to these programs over the years, I've been here since the world was cooling. And it's a wonderful place. I consider in so many ways this my artistic home.
1980, right?
Well, actually before that.
Oh, wow.
I was hired by Richard Gaddis to come and do our first collaboration with the Muni Opera in 1978. So that was a very long,
I just want to mention one thing before we let you go. The Stephen H. Lord Fund for Music, that's pretty exciting. You want to say something about that?
Yeah, it's pretty great. We have a wonderful donor whose name I'm not allowed to use. I would use it, but she won't let me because she's very modest and she's a true philanthropist who gave a considerable gift for a fund in my name. You know, we have a Colin Graham Fund and we have a Charles McKay Fund. And these are all to help sponsor and nurture and actually mentor young people. So the purpose of this gift is to help mentor people who did what I did, starting, you know, on playing the piano, whatever, and working your way up to conducting and give people the opportunity to observe, to participate, to cover, to actually travel when I go to, say, I go to London to do Bohème with Roland. To actually be able to come and observe, get into the business. The problem with the business is people don't know how to get into it. They do all sorts of assistantships and then fade away. You know, our job with this money will help be to get them to meet all the people that will help their career.
Well, congratulations. And
thank you. And thank you to the anonymous donor.
And you'll be around, though.
I'll be around. Yes, I'll be around. And as I say, this is my artistic home, and I have my greatest friends are here.
All right. Finally, Bradley, I know you either have been or will be working on some sort of series for PBS.
Yes. This past season at Lyric Opera of Chicago, I was in a world premiere performance, speaking of world premieres, of Jimmy Lopez's Bel Canto, which is an opera based on the novel by Ann Patchett of the same name. And the production was recorded by PBS and will be broadcast, I believe, this coming summer on a Great Performances series.
Super. Yeah. Roland, anything you're looking forward to?
Yes, I'm very much looking forward to production of Pelléas and Mélisande back home for me in Scotland with Sir David McVicar. I think it's going to be a very interesting, just after Christmas, I think that'll be a couple of things before then. But that's the one I'm really looking forward to at the moment. Yeah.
Well, I hope you enjoy your first time in St. Louis.
Thank you very much.
Nice meeting all of you, and have a great season.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Thanks.
That was Steve Potter speaking with Opera Theater of St. Louis music director Stephen Lord, bass baritone Bradley Smoke, who will sing the role of Collinet in La Bohème, and baritone Roland Wood, who will sing the title role in Macbeth. Opera Theater season opens tomorrow night at 8 with Puccini's La Bohème. Verdi's Macbeth opens on Saturday, May 28th. Strauss's Ariadne on Naxos opens June 9th. The world premiere of Jack Perler's Shalimar the Clown opens June 11th, and all four productions will continue in repertory through June 26th. All performances are in the Loretto Hilton Center for the Performing Arts on the Webster University campus. You can find complete details at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll take a look at current issues pertaining to the law with our legal roundtable panel of experts. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Arts and culture programming on St. Louis on the Air is funded in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh. I'm